stayed up late again watching TV with my best friend, laughing at the late night show. I don't know what's wrong with me, 'cause I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night and sleep all day, I ain't at my best.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. That is the text line. That's how you get in touch with the program. Still to come from the Baldwin County Republican Party, Patrick McWilliams. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, my friend Paul DeMarco. Please stay tuned for that. Joining us now, he represents us here in the 1st Congressional District, what we currently think of as the 1st Congressional District, which will probably be much different this time of year from now. But Jerry Carl, the congressman from Mobile. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic and blessed. I got to sleep in my own bed last night, first time in 2 weeks, and I get to see my grandchildren tomorrow night, first time in well over a month. So I'm blessed.
Well, that is good to hear. I'm glad you made it back just in time for the weather to cool down some. But, been a rocky road here at home with whatever's going to happen this next election cycle. But we'll start with the speaker wars, and we're in the middle of another one of these speakers races. But kind of just walk us through things from your vantage point.
So in January, when we changed the rules, we all voted on the rules. One of the negotiating tools that McCarthy used to get, the 15 votes we got. And one of the things they were asking for is they wanted the ability for one person to call up the speaker on a vacancy, basically a vote to kick him out, one versus 50%. Of the body. And we knew that was going to be a problem. It's not a matter of if, it was a matter of when that would happen. So that's what happened. McCarthy's been McCarthy's done a great job, but this thing's brewed. I don't know. There's something about ethics violations with, that they're looking into, and McCarthy wouldn't support, Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz is mad at him. So Matt brings it up. Matt gets him enough votes to be able to bring it up, one plus. So we voted on it. And, the crazy thing about it is what it's based on. It's based on McCarthy getting this CR passed last Saturday, which we all were part of that. We passed that CR, and it was okay. It was nobody's excited about it. But the CR before that these same people – shot down. It was a great bill then. We had border money in there. We had money in there to take care of things. It was a 45-day extension is all it was. Basically, the ribs of it were the same thing, but we just had money in there for the right reasons to take care of our border and our military. There's a pay raise in there for our military folks. They voted that down. So I really feel like they set McCarthy up on this. So when it did pass with a few Democrats, a much, much weaker version of it, passed with the Democrats voting for it, that was a setup. I don't care what anybody says. So that's what they took to the floor. You got Matt Gaetz standing on the Democrat side making the argument, which he can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But, and then we're in this shape now. So McCarthy's down. He's out. We voted him out. We go into conference. Conference got pretty heated. There was a lot of things said in there, some good, not much, but some good and a lot bad. And they just told us, they said, look, we're closing this conference. Y'all go home for the weekend, and we're going to come back Tuesday. We're going to have a list of candidates, which my phone, and fortunately, as a Republican Party, we've got some strong candidates that can step up and fill that role. So we'll vote Tuesday on a new speaker. And hopefully we can come up with 218 votes on the floor. It's going to be a struggle. It might be deja vu all over again, trying to elect a speaker on the floor. I don't know.
Well, go back to the ouster of Kevin McCarthy. I from my standpoint, and I try to put myself in the shoes of like a House Freedom Caucus type or whatever, he wasn't that bad of a speaker. If you look at the, the last few Republican speakers, he was very, very much like opened it up. You had Jim Jordan on judiciary. You had a lot of things that I thought were good things as far as that whole side of the spectrum goes, right?
Yes, he made sure that the Freedom Caucus had a voice on every committee. We got, maybe wrong, but I think there's three from the Freedom Caucus that are pretty vocal that are on appropriations now. And they've added a lot of positive things, Jeff. That's not the problem. The problem is not the Freedom Caucus group. The problem is a personal vendetta that we're having to deal with. And we're dragging this entire country into this over a personal vendetta. That is my honest to God feelings about it. And it upsets me that we're even having to have this conversation. We shouldn't have to have this conversation. If we don't like McCarthy, let's take McCarthy out. I think McCarthy did a great job. I don't agree with everything he did. He put some people in some key roles that I would have never have done. But you know what? He's the speaker. That's his job. And he's really opened things up. I mean, we've conversations between everybody has opened up. Things have happened that haven't happened in years as far as communicating among one another. But, you know, now all we're focused on is what we haven't done. Let's focus on what we have done. I mean, we pushed bills through there, you know, tax cuts. We pushed border issues. I mean, we've done everything we can do on that floor. Appropriations is the problem. Appropriations is what everybody's pointing at. I'm on appropriations. I'm going to tell you right now, the problem we have with appropriations, we can't get enough votes from our own people to pass it. That's our problem. Our own people won't let it go through.
Well,
one side says we'll have a 30% cut. This is what you got to hear. So we'll have a 30% cut on one bill. Let's take state foreign ops. That's not enough, according to a handful of people. They want more cuts. They want 50% cuts. You know, and I get it. I want smaller government. I want it all. I mean, I'm a Republican. I'm a businessman. I know the smaller, the leaner, the healthier the machine is. But you can't just arbitrarily go in there and just cut 50 or 60% of anything and expect it to survive or function properly. So we can't get these same people that we're talking about here, we can't get them to work with us to get the appropriations out to get them on the floor. We've got all but two done. We'll get the next two done in the next 2 weeks. And we'll run them through the process. It'll take 3 or 4 weeks to get them through everything it has to go through, all the different committees. And I guarantee you we get it on the floor, it'll be our own people that will kill it. There's no doubt in my mind.
So, well, tell me one more thing, and then we'll move on. But what, you know, Gates obviously had some other members go along with him on this. Did you put his complaints and criticisms aside? What was the, I guess, the other seven members? Why did they go along with this?
Well, you've got one that's running for Senate. He needs all the free airtime he can get. You've got one that's barely hanging on to their seat. I mean, I'm sure they probably believe some of this. I don't doubt that. But is that enough to shut the country down?
Well, the other weird thing is just the fundraising off of it, and I don't know that I understand the.
It is lit up. I got home after the vote. I got home and sat down in my chair just trying to get myself regrouped, and I got four texts from four of those different of that eight looking for money. It's all about money. It's all about airtime. It's all about what they want. I didn't go up there to represent myself. I went up there to represent a district. And when that district gets enough and they want me to come home, they will vote me out. Trust me. And these people need to be gone. If this is the way they're going to do business, they need to be gone. Because you can't be one of 422 or 435, whatever day it is, how many is ever present, and expect to get 100% of your weight. It doesn't work that way. That's not reality.
Well, and one more thing, and we'll go on to the redistricting. But you look at the names that have been mentioned to replace McCarthy. Do you feel okay about that, or how do you feel about those the slate of candidates?
I like them. I mean, and they're the people that I would have picked. Now, again, we're back to if the same 8 or 10 or 20, there's actually 20 of them, if they don't get the person they want, they'll shut it down. They will shut it down. They get it their way or not at all. 4% knock McCarthy out of his seat. 4% of a delegation. Then that is not the way this country was set up to run. No way.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program. Congressman, you have made it clear you are going to run for reelection. We know it's down to 3 maps. I know you're working on trying to get some specifics. But, I mean, what do you do here? Are you kind of looking at, you're going to have to get well-known better in that eastern part of South Alabama. What's your approach here going forward? Looking at re-election.
Well, we can't. First of all, we can't forget who brought us to the dance, which is the folks in my district now. And I appreciate every one of them. I appreciate their support. I appreciate their votes. I appreciate their opinions. And trust me, they all vary. So I'm really trying to get that everyone in my district to pull together. Because that will make the determination of how this race goes. Now, in the same breath, I am working over into what we think is going to be the new district, which is the Wiregrass. We have had numerous meetings over there. I think Saturday I'll be at the Troy ball game. There's a lot of legislators that will be there. I mean, it'll just be a good time for them to get to know me. And it'll start the process. We've already reached out to a lot of the Republican organizations over there. We've gotten tremendous positive response. I mean, it's just positive, positive, positive. But I've got to convince those folks how I'm going to represent them in Washington when I live in Mobile. Now, I understand that fear. I understand that question. But I've been a multitasking my whole life. I've had as many as, 11 different companies running at one time. And I mean, you got to be an octopus to be able to handle that. But, that multitasking is what I'm best at. So I'm doing that. I'm convincing these people that we are who we are. And, I still go back to that same old silly saying, I'm just Jerry. I can only be myself. I'm a businessman. I'm not a politician. Don't want to be. I just want to be somebody that one day I can look back and say I did my best and my district is in much better shape than when I found it. And I follow some giants. I follow some people that have done incredible jobs as Congressman of District 1. So that is a very bold statement to try to do better than the gentleman that I'm following.
Well, and you look back at the history, and I talk about this all the time on the program, looking back at the last several members of the 1st Congressional District, heck, look at the 2nd Congressional District prior to Congressman Moore, but there's never been a member elected from either of those districts that's like, a bomb thrower, a grenade launcher, whatever. And I can name names, but I'm going to spare you of that. But you know what I'm saying? It is somebody kind of operates within the system typically.
I mean, let's look at the most recent, which is Joe Bonner and Bradley. I mean, they're not bomb throwers. They focus on what the problem is. They come up with a solution and they fix it. I mean, that's the way my mind works. If I never get in front of another TV camera, if I never get another interview, I'm fine as long as I'm getting the job done. I want to be able to come. I want to be able to face my family and know that I've done the job that I was sent up there to do. Now, I love doing local stuff. I love doing radio. I love local TV. But the national spotlight, I deliberately walk away from the cameras. That's not my personality. I am sent up there to do a job and do it the best I can. I'm one of 435. I know that, but I try to influence as many as I can. And we look after the state of Alabama. Alabama as a whole has got a delegation that's incredible. We all work together. Barry and I will be running against one another, but I'll tell you, Barry and I and the rest of the delegation, we work as one and for the state of Alabama. And that is something that is rarely, rarely seen in this country because we put all of our personal stuff aside.
You think that Barry Moore is going to run for re-election?
We have no choice but to assume that he will. Barry's in a very unique situation, though, if you think about it. Barry's in a situation he can run for District 2 just as easy. In District 2, the new lines that are drawn, District 2, 60% of the new District 2 is Barry's district now. So he should be very solid in that District 2, the new district. So the other 40% is basically my old district, which is Mobile, the city of Mobile, North Mobile County, Washington County, and Monroe County. So, you know, we've got plenty of strong Republican roots there that he could actually work off of. Now, I'm not going to get between him and somebody else running for that seat. That's just not the place that I have a right to do. But once we determine who's going to be the Republican candidate, we can turn the vote out in District 2, especially knowing I'm right here. I mean, I can throw a rock, we think. We haven't seen the final lines, but I can throw a rock across the street and probably hit District 2 from here. But well, I am not going to run District 2. I'm going to focus on District 1 and stay where I'm at.
I mean, you know, like, have you talked to him? Like, have y'all had any kind of interaction since this came out?
We do. You know, it's been very uncomfortable for both of us. We knew something like this was very possible. So we've been very cautious in talking anything district related. But we do business together and we chit chat and we sit together on the floor. But we try not to talk about what ifs in the district. I just don't think it's time for that. When we get the final map, when we know exactly where those lines are at, for example, Mobile County, I can look and determine exactly what the numbers are going to be. And at that point, maybe we can talk. You know, we're both going to spend a couple million dollars on this race. And, you know, I don't know. I'd love it if he'd run for District 2. But, you know, he's got to make his own mind up what he wants to do. And if he wants to run against us, he runs against us.
Well, he may hold off and run for something statewide in a couple of years is kind of the scuttlebutt.
I've heard that. Heard that too. Again, I haven't talked to him. I wish Barry and Heather the best, and I'll help them any way I can. But I'm here for District 1. I'll be here for District 1 as long as District 1 wants me.
Congressman, we got to leave it there, but thanks for coming on short notice, and it's a busy time for
thank
you.
Jeff.
I'm glad you're back in the district, though, if anything. That's a civil
letter. Your listeners, pray for peace in the Republican delegation. Just pray for cool heads and peace, and especially in the next 7 days.
Congressman Jerry Carl there on the line. Congressman, we'll talk again soon.
Take care, Jeff.
All right, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
And a few old jeans songs.